Call today.
This is Free Talk Live. We're kicking off hour number one of the Wednesday edition of the show. It is Ian here with you.
And Melissa.
And Mark.
Toll-free number, as always, is 800-259-9231. That's the number that allows you to dial in and bring up whatever you want. Again, that's 1-800-259-9231. Of course, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, where everything is totally free. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. Melissa, we're starting with you tonight. You've got a very disturbing story about a total loss of freedom of speech, at least for one man, and it might as well be for the rest of us, in an American airport. What happened to this guy?
Well, this poor gentleman, I have a story here from his blog directly in his own words as to what happened.
He's an Iraqi American, correct?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
That is correct.
So he doesn't look totally white.
No, he does not. And apparently he had some problems at the airport here where he was trying to board a plane and was stopped because of the message that was on his shirt, basically.
Right.
Here's his words exactly. I just came back from a short trip to Jordan and Syria. The trip to Syria was so fast, but I managed to visit some Lebanese refugee camps. I am so impressed by the Syrian people's generosity in receiving Lebanese refugees. The Syrian government didn't even have to send food or supplies to the refugees because of the overwhelming grassroots support. When I was in the school refugee camp, many neighbors were walking in with food and clothes. Neighbors donated mattresses, TV, satellites, money, and other aid. The other thing you can't miss in Jordan, Syria is people's anger against the U.S. On more than one occasion, I got shouted at because I live in the U.S. The most interesting incident was during a visit to a Lebanese refugee camp. I was called by two young Lebanese people, and they asked me whether me and the rest of the delegation visiting their shelter were coming from the U.S. I said yes. They said, quote, "You better get the hell out of here unless you want us to make a scene." I tried to explain that we are the, quote, "good Americans who are against the war." So they said, "Go back home and change your government."
Jeez.
"You can't come here, visit us in a shelter that we were sent to because of your tax money and your bombs, and expect us to be nice to you." So apparently he and the other Americans got out quick.
Wow.
Which kind of sends us a message, I think, that they aren't very happy with us, you know, over there.
You know, and it's pretty clear that it's because they hate our freedoms, you know, that they're mad at us.
Yeah.
No, it's our foreign policy.
Well,
yes, we're supplying Israel with these bombs. Whether you like it or not, I mean, I'm kind of a fan of Israel, and I understand why they want to fight, you know, their neighbors. But at the same time, because of the tax money and because of our government is the reason we're hated. If I could give money to Israel, which I probably would not do.
Not much of a fan, then.
Not that big of a fan, no. If I could do that independently through some Israeli help organization, then they would hate that organization. They wouldn't hate the United States of America.
Right.
And that's the way our foreign policy should work.
And you would think that if you went over there and like he did and said, "Well, I'm one of the anti-war Americans. I'm
right.
one of the good guys." You'd think they might have cut him a break, but no, they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't even stand for that. I mean,
not at all.
Home,
they wanted him out of there.
Go back home, change your government, and then come back and talk to us.
Yeah.
So they're starting to hate everybody simply because we allow this government to do what it does. We could stop. I mean, all of the anti-war Americans, I mean, there's a lot of them. Isn't it over 50% now that at this point realizes
at least,
Iraq was a mistake?
Yeah.
If over 50% of Americans just decided to stop paying taxes and stop participating with the U.S. federal government and their system, then that would probably make way for a pretty big change, I would think.
I would think so.
It's about the only thing we can do to stop this, because, I mean, George Bush has said he's not pulling out until 2009.
Well, unfortunately.
And he's not pulling out, so
right.
I mean, it would be 2009 before we would be able to.
Unfortunately, nobody's going to do it. I mean, the anti-war crowd, they get together, they have a few protests here and there, but they don't really actually refuse to participate. They just continue on, and they don't refuse to pay taxes to the government.
No.
A lot of them love taxes. They think that some of their taxes are going to the right place, so they would never consider for a moment stopping paying them, in which case we're in a pretty crappy situation.
Well, even if some of your taxes are going to the right place, you know, some of them aren't, and that's a bad deal.
Right.
It's
Let's go on with
deal.
The story. So he was over in Jordan and Syria, then he came back home.
He came back home, and apparently he went to JFK Airport in the morning to catch his JetBlue plane to California. He says, "I reached Terminal 6 at around 7:15 a.m., issued a boarding pass, and checked all my bags in, and then walked to the security checkpoint. For the first time in my life, I was taken to a secondary search. My shoes were searched, and I was asked for my boarding pass and ID. After passing the security, I walked to check where gate 16 was. Then I went to get something to eat. Apparently, he got some cheese and grapes with some orange juice, and he went back to gate 16 and sat down in the boarding area, enjoying his breakfast and some sunshine. At around 8:30 a.m., two men approached me while I was checking my phone. One of them asked me if I had a minute, and he showed me his badge. I said, sure. We walked some few steps.
Wait, I can say no?
Yeah, apparently.
No, sir, I don't have a minute.
I don't have any time to give you right now.
I'm just going to go get an Egg McMuffin.
Busy with my grapes here. Thanks.
He walked some few steps and stood in front of the boarding counter, where I found out what they were accompanied by another person, a woman from JetBlue. Or, I'm sorry, that they were accompanied by someone else. One of the two men who approached me first, Inspector Harris, asked for my ID card and boarding pass.
Now, one thing that I did scan through this before... before you actually read it. And one of the things it doesn't make clear is whether or not Inspector Harris is actually an employee of JetBlue or if he's a government bureaucrat.
No, it never does state that anywhere in the article that I'm aware of.
I can't imagine that a private company would label one of their employees an inspector, though I believe it could be possible.
Sure.
So I'm not really sure. We don't know who this guy really is at this point.
Not at all.
Okay.
Okay, so apparently he was asked for his ID card and his boarding pass. He gave him his boarding pass and driver's license. And then he says, quote, people are feeling offended because of your T-shirt.
Hmm.
He looked at his T-shirt and said, I was wondering why my shirt, which states in both Arabic and English, we will not be silent. That's exactly what his shirt said. And he was wondering why he was stopped for this. He said, quote, I am very sorry if I offended anyone. I didn't know that this T-shirt would be offensive. He asked me if I had any other shirts to put on, and I told him that I had checked in all of my bags, and I asked him, quote, why do you want me to take off my T-shirt? Isn't it my constitutional right to express myself in this way? The second man in a greenish suit interfered and said, people here in the U.S. don't understand these things about constitutional rights. So I answered him, I live in the U.S., and I understand it is my right to wear this T-shirt.
Can you read that quote from the guy in the green suit one more time?
Sure. People here in the U.S. don't understand these things about constitutional rights.
Can you believe that, Mark?
Well, maybe he's talking about the other passengers may not understand that he has a constitutional right to wear whatever.
Yeah, that's
he
what
wants.
He's saying.
Yeah,
people
that's
in the
exactly
United
what
States,
he's saying.
He's saying people in the United States are dum-dums, and they don't understand this whole constitutional rights thing. So why don't you take off your T-shirt, buddy?
Well, perhaps he's right. Some certainly don't understand what constitutional rights are about. We hear them every night.
I understand, but we know that people in America don't get it. Plenty of people don't understand constitutional rights.
And that's exactly
not an
what
excuse,
we preach.
But that's not an excuse to abolish them.
It is not.
And by the way, I saw the picture of this guy's shirt. It's a plain black shirt with white lettering on it. And it's got in Arabic and in English the phrase that you said, we won't, what is it, we won't...
I believe
be
it was, we won't be silent.
Silent.
We will not be silent. That's all it says on it. And people are taking offense to this.
The idea that you can walk through an airport and have somebody pick up their cell phone, and we'll find out later on that's what happened. People were calling in.
Yeah.
To say that there was somebody with a scary shirt on because there's Arabic lettering on it. The idea that somebody in an airport can force you to change your shirt because they don't feel comfortable about what's on it is pretty disgusting to me.
Absolutely. I mean, that's your rights being taken right away from you, and
well,
I can't believe that people actually, as you had stated, picked up the phone and called and mentioned something about it, as we'll see further in the article here. But
well, I don't have a problem with them calling and mentioning that there's a guy that I think... You know, it looks dangerous to me.
Because of a T-shirt?
A T-shirt.
That's the reason they decided to pick.
You got to be kidding me.
But that doesn't mean that they have to do anything about it.
They
could go talk to the guy and say, hey, you know, some people have called and your T-shirt's bothering them.
And so what?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
great.
So just bring it to his attention and that's it.
Yeah. Like, maybe...
I don't think it's necessary to even bring it to his attention.
Then
he's got the right...
It's not necessary... Right. That's fine. Right means that he can wear whatever T-shirt he wants.
I think...
But
it
also means that, you know, that the people have the right to call the authorities if they want.
Well, they have the right to call the authorities, but I think if I was fielding those phone calls, I'd say, excuse me, what country do you think you're in? This is America. We have the freedom of speech. Thanks for the call. 1-800-259-9231. More details on this story on the way. This is your show, Free Talk Live.
It's a combination of the best that public broadcasting has to offer
and NFL football.
We should pass a law mandating a cooling off period after the next 9/11 type attack. We know we're going to get hit again, and we know we're going to freak out and pass Patriot Act 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then we're going to feel bad that we acted in the heat of the moment.
Beating the ideas into the turf until something breaks. Common Sense with Dan Carlin.
Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
In December 2005, CNN had a special documentary about the inevitability of nuclear terrorism on American soil. When the mainstream media is reporting on such a perilous topic with such candor, it should be taken very seriously. Currently for sale by owner, the ultimate secure home is strategically located in the awesome mountains of southwest Colorado. This patented steel-reinforced concrete earth home was built to withstand any natural or man-made disaster you can name, whether that be a forest fire, an earthquake, or even a full-scale nuclear attack. The house is completely off-grid with solar electricity and an independent water supply. It even has a hidden fallout shelter with NVC air filtration. Its many self-sufficient and high-security features will amaze you. With nuclear World War III looming ever closer on the horizon, this custom survival home is turnkey, ready for a new owner. For more information, visit www.ultimatesecurehome.com. That's www.ultimatesecurehome.com.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up anything. Toll-free number 1-800-259-9231. Again, that's 800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Melissa.
And Mark.
And, of course, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. There are archives there. In fact, an entire year's worth of the show right there on the front page of the website. There's no logging in or membership fee or anything. There are no hoops to jump through. You just go and get them for free at freetalklive.com. Plus, Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project. It's your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. Again, that's freestateproject.org. We're talking about a story from one of our airports here in the United States. A man who is an Iraqi-American was visiting over in Jordan and Syria, and when he came back to the United States, and by the way, when he was visiting Jordan and Syria, he faced a bit of hatred because of the fact that, well, he was an American. And it wasn't hatred based on our freedoms, it was hatred based on what our government is doing, appropriately enough. He came back to the United States, and as he was waiting for a plane, because apparently he was he came back to the States and then was going to take another plane to New York. So I think he landed in D.C. and then was going to fly to New York. Anyway, he was sitting there waiting to get on his flight as a couple of people, actually two or three people, approached him and essentially told him, "You need to take your shirt off." And he was a little bit stunned by this. I mean, it's America. I mean, it's a T-shirt.
And
what?
It's not like the T-shirt was vulgar.
No.
It wasn't.
Not at all.
It didn't have anything violent or completely inflammatory on it.
It says, "We will not be silent." Except it also says it in Arabic.
Yes.
So apparently what had happened was some people were getting scared because there was a man with a T-shirt with Arabic on it in a U.S. airport terminal.
That is so scary. I mean, to think that you can just walk into an airport and have something on your T-shirt and have everyone think you're a terrorist or something like that or you're a threat or a danger to the flight simply because you're wearing that shirt.
There are things that one could have on a T-shirt that would make people think that. It's like, "I like to blow up Americans."
I have a bomb.
Yeah. Right. Something like that I could see.
Right, but that's not what this shirt says. However, the story continues with this interrogation of these two guys. There was two guys and a woman from JetBlue. We know the woman was from JetBlue, but he doesn't specify where these guys were from. One of them is an inspector of some sort.
Right.
Continue the story, if you will, Melissa.
Sure. Apparently, he had stated again, I'll repeat what he stated. He said, "I live in the U.S. and I understand it is my right to wear this T-shirt. Then I once again asked the three of them, quote, 'How come you are asking me to change my T-shirt? Isn't this my constitutional right to wear it? I am ready to change it if you tell me why I should. Do you have an order against Arabic T-shirts? Is there such a law against Arabic script?' So, Inspector Harris answered, quote, 'You can't wear a T-shirt with Arabic script and come to an airport. It's like wearing a T-shirt that reads, 'I'm a robber,' and going to a bank.'"
No, it's not at all.
Seems like a push to me.
Yeah, he then stated, quote, "But the message on my T-shirt is not offensive. It just says, 'We will not be silent.' I got this T-shirt from Washington, D.C. It is printed in many other languages, Arabic, Farsi, Spanish, English, etc." Inspector Harris said, "We can't make sure that that's what your T-shirt means. We will not be silent. We don't have a translator. Maybe it means something else." I said, "But as you can see, the statement is in both Arabic and English."
Who cares?
What does it matter?
Would it really matter if it meant something else? I mean, how many people on the flight could read Arabic in the first place to where? I mean, if someone was on the flight that could read Arabic and it did mean something else, like it actually meant, "I'm going to bomb this flight," then at that point, the person who could read Arabic could call up the authorities and say, "Hey, there's a guy here. He's got a shirt on that translates to, 'I'm going to bomb the flight.'" But no,
this was translating into the exact same thing it says in English, according to him.
According to him.
He said, "But as you can see, the statement's in both Arabic and English." He said, "Maybe it's not the same message. So based on the fact that JetBlue doesn't have a translator, anything in Arabic is suspicious because maybe it'll mean something bad." Meanwhile, a third man walked in our direction. He stood with us without introducing himself at all, and he looked at Inspector Harris's notes and asked him, "Is that his information?" Inspector Harris answered, "Yes, it is." The third man, Mr. Harmon, asked Inspector Harris, "Can I copy this information?" And Mr. Harris said, "Yes, sure." Inspector Harris then said, "You don't have to take off your T-shirt. Just put it on inside out." Like, that's going to cure the situation.
Like he's in middle school.
Yeah, exactly. "Put your shirt on inside out." He says he refused to put his shirt on inside out. So the woman interfered and said, "Let's reach a compromise. I'll buy you a new T-shirt, and you can put it on top of this one." Now, this is the lady that works for JetBlue Airlines.
This is the one that we know works for JetBlue.
Right.
And to me, that seems like, I mean, considering the situation, That seems like a reasonable compromise. I mean, you've got federal, I'm presuming, federal thugs threatening this guy, and she's just trying to find a way to get make it so her passenger isn't arrested.
Right, and basically to also speed up the flight process. I mean,
sure.
I'm sure this is holding up, you know, them getting on the plane, so or boarding of the plane.
Oh, but, I don't know about that. I think they'd leave with or without him, but go ahead.
Anyways, he stated that he wanted to keep his T-shirt on.
Mm.
Both Inspector Harris and Mr. Harmon said, no, we can't let you get on that plane with your T-shirt. I said,
I'm sorry, just so awestruck by how stupid this is.
This is ridiculous.
Because if this is a guy with bad intentions, if he has intentions of doing something on the flight,
right.
then...
It's not going to be with
his
T-shirt.
It's not going to all of a sudden throw his plans out of whack. Oh, no, I can't bomb the flight now that I don't have my shirt on anymore.
And if he's somebody who intends to bomb the flight, he's really bad
Stupid.
At hiding it.
Yeah.
Because he's just a guy who intends to wear his T-shirt. It's obvious. And these people are so caught up in their own authority.
Yes.
That they can't see past that.
Yeah.
They're not looking to protect anyone. They're not looking to make sure that the plane doesn't get
blown
up.
They're looking to get that shirt changed.
They're looking at showing him at this point, they're looking at getting his T-shirt changed.
Yep.
That's it.
Especially since
you're
going
to do it. You're going to bow to what
right.
we say.
Yeah, and I think that made it even worse just because he refused. But he has every right to refuse.
He sure does.
So apparently, at this point, he's... He's trying to figure out what's going on, and he refused to put his shirt on inside out, so the woman again offered to buy him a T-shirt. Both Inspector Harris and Mr. Harmon said they wouldn't let him get on the plane with his T-shirt on. He said, I'm ready to put on another T-shirt if you tell me what is the law that requires such a thing.
There is no law.
To talk to your supervisor.
We are the law, buddy.
Yep,
what
exactly.
What we say goes.
Inspector Harris said, you don't have to talk to anyone.
You don't get to talk to anybody, pal.
Many people called and complained about your T-shirt.
Right.
JetBlue customers were calling before you reached the checkpoint, and customers called when you were waiting here in the boarding area.
Mm-hmm.
It was then that I realized
Which,
that...
Which, by the way, it makes me really sad.
Yeah.
For Americans.
It does.
You're such a bunch of scaredy cats. You're so easily... frightened by the government and all of its threats of terrorism and the security alerts and the color codes. Oh, no, there's someone in the airport with a shirt with Arabic on it. Call the authorities. What a bunch
insane.
Of hysterical buffoons.
But see, this is where the government has us. This is where we are at this point in America right now. They have us so scared that we're actually calling about a gentleman.
A T-shirt
in an airport.
Amazing. 1-800-259-9231. There's a little more to this story. We'll continue it. 1-800-259-9231. Do you think that this guy should have been forced to take his shirt off? Obviously, these cops thought that he should. Maybe there's somebody listening that actually agrees with the police. 1-800-259-9231. Is this something that you can even envision happening in America? It's amazing. How much further down this road are we going?
Do you remember when you could eat most anything and not worry about it? Or maybe weight management has always been a problem. Are you frustrated, burned out, and tired of fad diets and marketing gimmicks that don't really work? Do you want a proven system, a long-term solution, to live a healthier lifestyle and properly manage your weight? At WeCanTogether.com, our approach is different. We focus on the whole you, personalized for your unique body composition, individual needs, and personal goals, not the cookie-cutter approach offered by others. Join today and have direct access to real people that are certified health and fitness professionals. Now there is help you can count on. WeCanTogether.com is the most complete, comprehensive wellness and training resource available on the web today. Visit us now and receive your free membership. Go to WeCanTogether.com. That's WeCanTogether.com.
So, Janice, where are you and Jim going on vacation this summer?
Definitely somewhere with a beach, though who knows if our feet will even touch the sand.
That reminds me, Janice, have you figured out how to talk to Jim about his problem?
No, I want to, but men can be so sensitive.
Well, it's only going to get worse. Remember, I was going through the same thing with Dan. Then I found Mycocide and Aspirin.
What's Mycocide NS?
Mycocide NS kills the germs that can cause fungal infections. It works great for Dan. He had the worst looking, thick yellow toenails. Now his nails look clear and healthy.
Do I need a prescription?
No, you can get Mycocide NS antifungal treatment in the foot care aisle at any drugstore or major retailer.
And it really worked?
Yep, it worked on me too. I had some white discolorations on my toe. I just applied Mycocide NS daily. I didn't even have to remove my nail polish.
Sounds easy. I can start planning our beach getaway.
Yeah, Mycocide definitely gave us the confidence to bare our feet again.
Pick up Mycocide NS at drugstores and major retailers. Look for a free bonus gift in each box.
The Bill of Rights is a term for the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, limiting the federal government's power and preserving the rights of the people. Each day, we gradually lose these rights that we are entitled to. We need to take a stand to let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. Today, you can take this stand. You can express your beliefs by wearing a new and innovative t-shirt available only through GCN. Each shirt is black with a redesign of the famous Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag located on the front of the shirt. On the back is the Bill of Rights, printed in bold white text. Each shirt is $15 plus $7 shipping. Please send a check or money order for $22 along with size and the number of shirts being ordered to Libertees. That's Libertees. 447 Thompson Bay Loop, New Blaine, Arkansas, 72851. Or go to GCNLive.com to view this great shirt today. Sizes XXL and larger at $2. Arkansas residents at 8% sales tax.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calvin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calvin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calvin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calvin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calvinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, and it is your show, and you can bring up whatever you want. Toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231. Again, that's 800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site totally free, including the Shrine of Female Listeners, with dozens and dozens of ladies that have taken the time to send us their validated photo, meaning that in the picture they're proving that they listen to the show. You can see what I mean by going to shrine.freetalklive.com. That'll take you right to the Shrine of Female Listeners. Again, that's shrine.freetalklive.com. We're going to wrap up a story here about an Iraqi American who had returned from a trip overseas, and as he was sitting in an airport waiting to catch a flight, he's wearing a shirt that said, "We will not be silent." It says that in English, and then apparently above it, it says it in Arabic. So it's a shirt with Arabic lettering on it. So apparently as he was walking through the terminal, going through the checkpoint, sitting and waiting for his plane, a variety of people, we don't know how many, the inspectors just claimed that there were people that were calling in. Right. They claimed that people were calling in saying that they were scared and that there's a scary man wearing a shirt in the airport, and he should have his shirt taken off, or he should put a different shirt on. So these cops approached him, and
well, I don't think the people suggested necessarily
his
shirt taken off. They just called in. They were concerned for whatever their reason.
They were offended, according to the word that the inspector used. They were offended by the shirt.
They found the shirt offensive.
So because a bunch of wimpy Americans get offended by somebody's shirt, the cops come into the picture and demand that the man takes his shirt off.
I suspect offended was the inspector's word, not their own. Probably in all likelihood, they were just concerned.
Which is just retarded, in my opinion.
That's your opinion?
But let's go on.
Just like theirs.
Let's go on with the story. Unfortunately, in America, you're supposed to have the freedom of speech. Now, I understand
this. I certainly don't dispute that. The man should be able to wear whatever T-shirt he wants to wear.
However, there's one caveat here. And the reason why he should be able to wear whatever T-shirt he wants to wear is because it's a public airport owned and operated by the government. If the airport was indeed operated on a private basis, then the private owners could very, very easily say, sir, we don't feel comfortable with having you in our airport with that shirt on. Please change it or leave. And there'd be no question. There'd be no appeal to the Constitution or anything like that.
They didn't kick him out of the airport, Ian. They told him he couldn't get on the plane.
I understand that. I'm saying that
because
the plane
of his T-shirt. It's not like he
has... But the plane is private, and JetBlue can decide whatever T-shirt that they want to have.
Right, but we're not sure as to whether it was really JetBlue who was doing this, or it was the security people.
Airport security, if possible.
Sure, I understand, but I'm just saying that this isn't completely cut and dry. If JetBlue wants to say, we don't allow Arabs on our planes, anybody with an Arab last name, I support that.
Well, I don't support that policy, but
I support their ability
to make such a policy.
Correct.
Yes, absolutely. But we don't know who was at fault in this particular case. We know there's one person from JetBlue that's interviewing this gentleman, but there's at least two or three other guys that are apparently security types, so we're not really sure. Go ahead with the rest.
No problem. And this is being quoted directly from the individual who was stopped. He says, it was then that I realized that my T-shirt was the reason why I'd been taken to the secondary checking. I asked the four people again to let me talk to any supervisor, and they refused. The JetBlue woman was asking me again to end this problem by just putting on a new T-shirt, and I felt threatened by Mr. Harmon's remarks, as in, let's end this in a nice way. Taking in consideration what happens to other Arabs and Muslims in U.S. airports and realizing that I will miss my flight unless I covered the Arabic script on my T-shirt, as I was told by the four agents, I asked the JetBlue woman to buy me a T-shirt, and I said, I don't want to miss my flight. She asked, what kind of T-shirts do you like? Should I get you an I Heart New York T-shirt? So Mr. Harmon responds, no, we shouldn't ask him to go from one extreme to another, which... I don't think that was wrong of him to say right there, I think.
Yeah.
But he asked Mr. Harmon, why does he assume that I hate New York if I had some Arabic script on my T-shirt? But he didn't answer. The woman went away for 3 minutes. She came back.
A jerk.
She came back with a gray T-shirt.
I have to agree with that.
That simply stated New York. He put the T-shirt on and removed the price tag. I told the four people who were involved in the conversation, quote, I feel very sad that my personal freedom was taken away like this. I grew up under authoritarian governments in the Middle East, and one of the reasons I chose to move to the U.S. was that I don't want an officer to make me change my T-shirt. I will pursue this incident today through a constitutional rights organization, and I am sure we will meet again soon.
Good for him.
Everyone said okay and left, and he went back to his seat. At 8:50, he was called again by a fourth young man standing with the same JetBlue woman. He asked for my boarding pass. I gave it to him and stood in front of the boarding counter. I asked the woman, is everything okay? She responded, yes, sure. We just have to change your seat. I said, but I want this seat. That's why I chose it online 4 weeks ago. The fourth man said, well, there's a lady with a toddler sitting there. We need the seat.
What does that have to do with anything? Can you speculate on that?
One would yes. You don't have to buy a seat for a child of under a certain age.
Yeah.
They can sit on your lap. But I assume that the airline would normally make provisions so that if the child's of certain size, that it would have its own seat too, if it's convenient.
I see.
That's
and
the
so they conveniently displaced this one guy.
This one particular guy.
Just very convenient.
Well, it's a lie in all likelihood.
I would think that.
Well, he could verify it. I mean, after he got on the plane, he could get up and look at his seat and see if there was indeed a woman with a toddler. I don't know if they would lie about that.
Well,
I wonder.
This is what's funny about it. They reissued him a small boarding pass for seat 24A instead of seat 3A. They said that I could go onto the airplane then. He was the first person who entered the airplane. So they allowed him on the plane first, which they typically, I think, board women and children and handicap first. So it kind of shocked me they allowed him to board the plane first. He said he was really annoyed about being assigned the seat in the back of the airplane, too. It smelled like the bathrooms, which is why I had originally chosen a seat which would be far from that area.
Yeah. So, wait a minute.
They
so
conveniently stuck him by the bathroom, by the lavatory.
They conveniently stuck him by the bathroom in the very back of the plane.
Away from the cockpit.
Away from as many passengers as possible. Allowed him to board the plane first.
So that nobody would probably see him.
So that no one would pass him as he was sitting in his seat looking all Iraqi.
Yeah.
And scary.
That sounds like a JetBlue decision to me.
It does sound like
it
all,
does.
Blue decision.
All of that. Now,
it does.
And you can say whatever you want about JetBlue for that particular decision, but it's theirs, and that's it.
Well, he ends this particular blog post by saying, it sucks to be an Arab Muslim living in the U.S. these days. When you go to the Middle East, you are a U.S. taxpayer destroying people's houses with your money. And when you come back to the U.S., you are a suspected terrorist and plane hijacker.
Jeez.
So the poor guy.
Everybody hates you.
Everybody hates you no matter what. And I just, I'm That's absolutely sad. Appalled by this whole story. I cannot believe that I'm upset with JetBlue just simply for their tactics and what they did. I don't know if the inspectors were from Department of Homeland Security where they were from, if they were independent security company. But to tell this passenger, first of all, that he has to take off his shirt or change it. Secondly,
outrageous.
To move his seat. To put him in the back of the plane.
Really, that's just insult to injury at that point.
That, I mean, nothing
hey,
like rubbing
got,
salt in a wound, you know?
We've got his ticket. We've got his money. We can just do whatever we want with him at this point. Can't get a refund.
I would have...
No.
Nope.
I think I would have had to not gotten on that flight if I were him. And I wouldn't have cared.
But then you wouldn't have gotten where you were going.
I still would have bought a ticket from some other airline. I wouldn't have allowed
that
from an airline.
Asked for a refund.
I would have at some point for the abuse. I mean, if they want me to change my T-shirt, then I'm sorry.
You buy
I feel
a ticket
like
online, you're not getting a refund.
Is that how it works? You don't get a refund
for the most part. You don't get.
But for the abuse that he has to go through, they're refusing to allow him on the plane.
True, he
for
could
his
really
t-shirt.
He could threaten to really raise hell and
so I would say,
and,
you know, if you don't let me on the plane, give me my money back then.
Yeah.
The last statement that he made was something like, it really stinks to be a Muslim Iraqi American.
Yeah.
An Arab Muslim living in the U.S.
I have a friend of mine. His name's Ali. I believe he's Lebanese, of Lebanese descent. He's actually from an island in the Pacific or in the Atlantic called Caribbean.
Okay.
Called Curacao.
Okay.
He goes on planes, and he says that every single time he goes on, he gets the double
the special treatment.
He gets the special treatment. But
Biggers.
He gets through it, and he's fine. So it doesn't suck to be an Arab American going on a plane. It suck, you know. I mean, the double inspection. It's kind of something you have to kind of look for.
Mm-hmm.
But what stinks is being, you know, I mean, he's being hard-lined about this. He's saying, I'm going to wear my Arabic T-shirt.
As he should be able
to.
He should be able to. And you're going to deal with whatever crap the company wants to give you based on that.
Well, we're not sure if it was the company or it was the government.
It's
it sounds
both.
More to me like it was the government. 800-259-9231, toll-free number. You bring up whatever's on your mind. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
If you're looking at the world today from within the box, you must see total chaos and feel lost with no hope. Out-of-the-box thinkers, such as Nostradamus, who saw the world from a different perspective, knew that nature or God's truth would prevail. They saw that today's organized religions and governments are being judged, not with the hand of man through atomic wars, but with the hand of God through natural disasters. We are judging ourselves during this trying apocalyptic period by all our hidden truths being uncovered. Don't you see this happening through the media today? Just remember these famous words. Everything hidden will be uncovered, and the truth will make you free. For evidence of these statements, get Jerry Vanno's new book, The Uncovering of the Greatest Story Never Told. Go to www.gvanno.com. That's www.gvanno.com.
Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction,
Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries, and the latest DVD releases like Dan Aykroyd Unplugged on UFOs and the Alien Files 5 DVD set. TheUFOStore.com also offers the book Roswell, It Really Happened by Jesse Marcel, one of the last survivors of the Roswell UFO crash that examined the spacecraft wreckage in 1947, revealing its hidden secrets. Log on to www.theUFOStore.com and request a free UFO store catalog. To receive a free catalog by mail, call 541-523-2630. That's 541-523-2630. TheUFOStore.com, the largest selection of UFO products on the Internet.
By now, it is no surprise that the U.S. ranks 37th in the world in occurrence of chronic illness, according to the World Health Organization. Due to modern farming and food processing practices, our food supply has become nutrition deficient, deficient in nutrients essential to good health. It is time to take back your health. Everyone has the right to good health. Join the self-reliant families, entrepreneurs, and the company pioneering cutting-edge glyconutrient technology. The wellness revolution is projected to be a $1 trillion industry by 2010. We are looking for people who are serious about bettering their lives and the lives of the people they love. Better health is possible. To learn more, go to therighttogoodhealth.com. You have the right to decide what is attainable in your lifetime. You have the right to build a healthy lifestyle that you can share with your friends and family. You have the right to achieve self-reliance and financial independence. And you have the right to good health. Visit therighttogoodhealth.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You bring up whatever you want. Toll-free number 800-259-9231. Again, that's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Melissa.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site's totally free. Now, we do have to pay for this website, so we're trying to cover our costs in a few different ways. And one of those ways is by selling stuff, like Free Talk Live stuff, T-shirts and hats and our six-disc DVD set. What's that, you ask? Well, it's a DVD set full of high-quality MP3 archives of the show from way back in our local days. The entirety of Season 1 and Season 2 of Free Talk Live from back when we were, it was all local, right before it goes from the very beginning up to right before we were syndicated. So you'll get all that.
How many shows is that?
That's a lot. Hundreds.
How many discs are there in the
DVD? Six-fold DVDs, and that's a lot of MP3s.
That's quite a bit.
Wow.
So you get it all, and there's some perks, there's some bonuses thrown in there as well, just for fun. And you can get it right now on a pre-order discount at store.freetalklive.com. So now would be the best time to go and get it. Store.freetalklive.com. The pre-order discount only remaining for another couple days. Once again, store.freetalklive.com. All right, let's talk to Joe in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Melissa, and Mark. Hello, Joe.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Hi, Joe.
Hey, I just kind of like to talk about the runaway judiciary that we have and the need for Congress to determine what bad conduct is as far as judicial conduct.
Do explain.
Well, we can start with the Seventh Amendment to the Constitution, which guarantees citizens who are getting involved in litigation, civil litigation, a right to a trial if the matter in controversy exceeds $20.
Okay.
Well, in the 1930s, the judiciary proposed a procedure called summary judgment, and that allows judges, based on their personal opinion, to terminate proceedings, which I understand as high as 60% of all civil cases in federal courts are resolved in this matter. Well, what we have is judges granting winks and nods to their favored participants in the courtroom, you know, law school buddies or law firms that they might want to go to work with if they retire from the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And parallel to that, you can read 28 United States Code 352, which describes the process for reviewing alleged judicial misconduct. And judges are allowed, basically, to police themselves. The last time we had a...
sounds effective.
I'm sorry?
I said that sounds effective.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. In fact, there's even a clause in the procedure that allows the chief judge, which reviews the misconduct allegation, to dismiss the allegation if he thinks that the allegation is directly related to the merits of the decision. And he doesn't have to respond to the specifics of the allegation.
So, and let me see if I've understood what you said so far. You're saying that there's some sort of law that came about that allows judges to basically toss out a civil case as they feel like it, if they just personally just want to get rid of it. And then if somebody challenges that, then the judges reviewing the case just have the ability to just throw that case out as well. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, basically. Summary judgment allows a judge to use his or her personal opinion as to the merits of the case. And if they don't think the case has any merit, they just simply dismiss it. Now, keep in mind, a federal judge promises in taking the judicial oath to honor the Constitution,
right,
which, of course, has the Seventh Amendment.
Right.
So, I mean, you talk about a breach of contract.
Conflict of interest.
Very major conflict of interest there.
Well, yeah, it's unbelievable. I was a plaintiff in a very simple civil case in the 11th U.S. Circuit. Dealt with a defamatory publication and list of a group of scab pilots that flew during the Eastern Airlines strike of 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, my name's on the scab list, and I've never flown for Eastern in my life. And went on to federal court, started in Miami, went through the entire system without any judicial comment on the case law and evidence that supported the complaint. No courts furnished case law in which they relied in reaching their conclusion.
So wait, what was it that you were seeking to do? Have your name removed from the list, or what was it that your case was about?
Well, first I wanted to be compensated for the economic damages caused by it.
I can understand that.
You know, I am an airline pilot.
Right.
Right.
And I,
so you could have been blacklisted for that or something.
Exactly. You know, my name was on the blacklist, and there was no justification for it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
you didn't even fly for that particular airline at all.
Never flown for Eastern in my life.
So
never
you,
worked for Eastern Airlines.
So you filed this lawsuit against, was it Eastern? Or
no, the Airline Pilots Association, which is the union that published and distributed 50,000 copies of the list around
the
industry.
Right. So it's you versus the union, and what happened to your case?
Well, the district court judge dismissed it with using summary judgment.
And they don't really have to give any reason, just summary judgment. I'm a judge.
Well,
my case.
They beat around the bush. They come up with a reason, but there was no comment on the evidence that supported my complaint.
Hmm.
And in fact, after the fact, I started looking into it, and that particular judge contradicted case law that he had personally written on the subject.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
And that's your interpretation.
Well, no.
That's what they love to say. I'm just quoting. They love it. They don't care if you bring case law into the courtroom that is ironclad, that makes a perfect case for you open and shut. They can just disregard it and say, that's your interpretation. Thanks. Goodbye.
Well,
they can just do whatever they want to, can't they?
Well, yes, they can. However, the judicial oath requires a judge to consider decisional law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he isn't allowed to take one set of circumstances and take one position for you and one position for me, and they might be diametrically opposed.
Yeah, but even though he's not allowed, how's it going to be enforced on him?
Well, that's exactly the problem.
Right. So how do we solve it?
Well, first thing, Congress has got to determine what bad conduct is as far as judicial conduct on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know, judges under Article 3 of the Constitution are to be retained in times of good behavior.
But wait a minute. Didn't Congress write the laws that gave them the loopholes in the first place?
Well, no. I'll tell you how the loopholes came into being. The Judicial Conference of the United States has got a special relationship with Congress, and that if the Judicial Conference suggests rules and procedures changes, they submitted the changes to Congress. Congress does not have to approve the changes. They have to reject them. In other words, anything the Judicial Conference wants to do becomes law unless Congress says no.
Wow.
And of course, Congress likely is not, doesn't even bother reading what it is that's given to them. They just say, okay.
Yep.
Well, the problem with that is the House Judiciary Committee is made up of lawyers with one exception, and that's Hostetler from Indiana. And
that's typical. I mean, lawyers typically are legislators, and they write the laws, and then then their buddies in the courts get to benefit from them. And it's really just a kind of an incestuous lawyer thing going on up in Washington, D.C.
Exactly.
I don't know if I feel like this is ever going to change anytime soon. I mean, how are you going to be able to get the Congress behind this? I mean, this isn't an issue that your average American is going to care about. It's not an issue that you can easily communicate to Joe Voter, right? I mean, we've spent a good 5 minutes, and I think we kind of have a general idea of what's going on. But Joe Voter's going to say, well, this isn't abortion. This isn't the issues I care about, so whatever. I don't have a problem with the judicial system. I've never had a lawsuit filed against me. It doesn't affect me. I don't care. I mean, how are you going to fight that?
Well, it's one of those issues that you wish you'd participated in changing when it's too late.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah. It's after the fact now.
Yeah, and I guess it's kind of my issue in life. I'm concerned about it.
I'm glad you're out there, and I'm glad you're concerned, and I'm glad you're taking as much action as you possibly can. I just, you know, obviously I'm a little bit disillusioned with the entire system myself.
Sure.
So I don't know what to expect. I wouldn't expect too much out of it. But I say keep up the fight, man, and see if you can, you know, see if you can get more people on your side, and maybe someday we can make a change.
Well, I'm the only media that I found remotely interested is Al Jazeera International.
What do you know?
They expect to start broadcasting from the United States in the fall.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They've got an office in Washington. They're getting organized.
Oh, good for them.
I'm already in communication with them. I sent them a number of documents. And I'm hoping that they will expose to the world exactly what we're running here in the United States.
I heard
just yesterday that Attorney General Gonzalez was in Iraq promising $100 million to help Iraq build its judicial system.
Wow.
Well, yeah, we should be leading by example.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right, just what we need to be doing, financing that too.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is the problem when you have a monopoly on justice.
Exactly.
And this is one reason. You're giving me just more fuel for my fire as to why we need to change from a monopoly coercive justice system to a voluntarily based, competing, competition-based, market-based justice system. Thank you for the call, man. We really appreciate it. And keep us up to date on what happens, especially with that Al Jazeera thing. 800-259-9231. Hour number two is on the way. One man has a plan for security in America. We'll share it with you. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.